Thank you, praise team. Probably be calling you back up in a little bit. I want to share what God had put on my testing. Hello. I want to share what God has put on my heart, and then just be obedient and flow with the Spirit of God tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together, Lord. We know that you are present here, Father. We are in your presence, Father. We know that it's your Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth, Father. We know that this time is anointed of you, Father. We are hooked up with you, Father. You are already flowing in our midst, Father. We thank you for the praise time that we've had, Father, the adoration we've been able to give you thus far, Lord, and we'll continue to do it, Father. Lord, help me to speak as the oracles of you tonight, Father. Only the thoughts that are of you, only the words that are of you that flow through me this night, Father, as we open up your word, Father, and find your encouragement through the scriptures, Father. We thank you for revelation knowledge that flows this evening, Father, in time of worship, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, I don't know why I say if you have your Bible. This is House of Lord, right? Y'all should have your Bibles. We're going to start with 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. Verses 8 through 17. And tonight, I want to talk about perspective. I'm going to talk about perspective. Looking at 2 Kings. Did I say chapter 8? Okay, good. It's chapter 6. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm excited. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 17. I'm actually going to read all of this and then back up because I want you to have the full context. It says here, "Now the king of Aram was warning against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there.' The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel?' One of his servants said, 'No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." We're talking about perspective tonight. God's perspective, not man's. We have in this instance a king going out to come against the people of Israel. And it was such to the degree that every move that they make, or every move that they made, the people of God knew about it. What does that remind you of? God said that before he does anything in the earth, will he not reveal it to the prophets? And of course, God reveals things to us, his body, his people, his church. We're talking about God's perspective. Notice in verse 12, It says, one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." How would Elisha know that? Because God shared it with him. We have a promise in John chapter 16, verse 13, that says that the Spirit of God discloses to us things to come. That is the perspective that we as believers live out in this day. This isn't old covenant. This is what we live today. The Spirit of God lets us know of things to come. Look at verse 16. It says here, so he answered. Hold on, let me back up. Verse 15, when the attendant of any man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So the servant's talking to Elisha, and they see the whole army surrounding them. And he's like, okay, it's just two of us. What are we going to do in the midst of these odds? You know, when you're two people going and standing in front of a whole army, it's quite insurmountable odds against you. And I love this passage. It speaks to me for a number of reasons, which some of it I'll get into tonight. But he answers in verse 16, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Again, we're talking about perspective, God's perspective. God's perspective says that those who are with us are more than everything that we see. Y'all remember in Romans, I think it was Romans chapter 8, somewhere in there. If God is for us, who or what can be against us? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? We're talking about the perspective of God. The scriptures tell us that we are not to look at and behold our, well, it doesn't say behold, but basically, don't look to our temporary circumstances because they are temporary. But we're to look at the promises of God that carry us through any and every circumstance. And in this particular passage, we notice that as believers, we have divine protection. Many of you all have quoted many a day Psalm 91. The interesting thing about divine protection is most of us, we know and can share testimony of how God has protected us, what he's brought us through. What we can't share or may not necessarily know are all the things that didn't happen because the angels were at work. You understand that everyone's testimony is bigger than what they know. Because we've got angels that kept things from happening to you that you have no idea were arrayed against you, an assignment that's been set up against you, and yet it was thwarted because of the words that have been spoken, because of the divine guidance and security that we have as believers. Come, turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. We're talking about perspective. Genesis chapter 45, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. This is after Joseph had finally gotten with his brothers. They didn't know that he was their brother whom they discarded, you know, previously. Got rid of him, sold him into slavery, basically kicked him to the curb. If anybody had a reason for having aught with their brothers, it would be Joseph, or as some translations say, Yosef. So in verse 45, he's finally revealing himself to them. And in verse 45, verses 1 through 15, it says, "Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried, 'Have everyone go out from me.' So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. He kissed all his brothers and wept on them, and afterward his brothers talked with him." We're talking about perspective. Joseph, we know, was sold into Egypt. We found that out in, you know, previous to this chapter, but we also see it in verse 4. He was sold by his brothers. If you all remember or recall the story, he has dreams. And he shared it with his brothers of what it would mean and them looking to or serving him. They didn't, of course, like that. He was the younger. He was the little one, right? And so they got jealous, kicked him to the curb. Y'all understand, he was in with Potiphar, got accused, thrown in jail, interpret some more dreams, yada, 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 right? Y'all know the story. What I wanted to bring out was perspective. Look throughout the scriptures that I just shared with you. Of all the anger, all the bitterness that Joseph could have had, he shares with his brothers in verse 5, "Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." So it wasn't that he forgot what his brothers did, but what did he say? "God sent me before you to preserve life." Now remember, in Joseph's position, he was with the ruler over all of Egypt, right? And God gave him a plan for carrying this nation through famine. You go back several chapters previously, and he basically started saving 20%, or the scriptures say a fifth, of all that came in, and they were going to have 5 years of famine. He put it away. Everyone started coming to Egypt during this time of famine, and he was in such tune with God and knew the word of God that he said, "Look, we're 2 years into this. We're going to have 3 more years. Again, the Spirit of God lets us know of things to come. We're talking about perspective, right? He says to his brothers, "Look, God sent me here," and most of us would presume that it was to take care of a nation. And he says, "He sent me before you to preserve life." To preserve life. God has put us, when we talk about perspective, in our sphere of influence to speak life, to declare life, to bring the resurrection power everywhere we go. The same Spirit who raised our Redeemer from the dead is the same Spirit who quickens our mortal bodies. I want you to look at verse 5. It says, "For God sent me before you to preserve life." Verse 7, what does he share with his brothers? God sent me before you to preserve for you. God sent me. Not his brothers. God sent me. God sent me. Verse 8 says, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. Look at verse 9. It says, thus says your son Joseph. He's telling them what to say to him. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Again, perspective. Was it Pharaoh that made him Lord of all Egypt? He says, God made him Lord of all Egypt. In all things, Romans chapter 8, 28 tells us, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. A lot of times people will misread that scripture and think that all things happen are good. No, it doesn't say all things that happen to you are good, but it says that in everything that happens to you, God can work good. In all things, God can work good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In this particular passage, we've been looking at God's divine guidance here, his divine guidance. We also see his divine prosperity. Because remember, they had an abundance during a season of famine. One last passage. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12 says, as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. We're talking about our Yeshua. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Again, we're talking about perspective, right? If there is sickness, there's got to be sin based upon perspective. And what's our Redeemer's response? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, how then were your eyes open? He answered, the man who was called Yeshua made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He says, I don't know. People should be asking you based upon the miracle signs and wonders that are flowing through you, the miracle signs and wonders that are flowing through me. They should be asking, where is he? Because we've seen a difference in life. We've seen a difference in perspective. Our law teaches us about sin. Our law teaches us about generational curses, but what happened here doesn't line up with the law. We want what you got, basically, is what they're saying. Talking about perspective, look at verse 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I had shared with you know, Brother Richard a little bit of what God had put on my heart. And the thing that God had spoken to me about for this night was getting us, not that we were off, but our perspective being God's perspective. We've looked at three different passages, one as it relates to divine protection, one as it relates to God's divine prosperity and restoration, and another as it relates to God's divine healing. We flow in every single realm of that here at House of the Lord. 3 John 2 tells us that, as your soul prospers, so shall you prosper and be in good health. It actually says, above all things, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. A big part of that is getting God's perspective on things. And so tonight, what I wanted us to do, as the Lord put it on my heart, is to spend some time in praise and worship, getting God's perspective on things. We don't have all the answers. You know, I was visiting, you know, Brother Rudy Monday evening, and, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't even have any answers. I just know the truth. And so I was sharing with him the word. I was sharing with him what God's word says. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know how he got there or what's going on. All I need to know is what's God's perspective. And for us as a body, we need to lay hold of what's God's perspective. What does he say? And speak into the earth what God says. When we're covering and standing in agreement with our pastor, our man of God, our sister Lou, when we're standing into our fellow believers here that may be going through or things may be attacking them, we stand and we say, okay, I'm not looking at circumstances. I'm going to focus on what's God's perspective. And the best way to do that, or the easiest way to get into that flow, is in praise and worship. If I can have the praise team get back up, and we're going to spend some time and worship God tonight. I believe that's what he would have us to do. And if the ministers or even the praise team has anything as we're doing this, feel free to share and speak the word of God. I was it was a few days ago. I was singing at home. I was singing an old school song, "Rise and Be Healed." Y'all remember that? "Rise and Be Healed in the Name of Jesus." I can't sing that well, and so Preston's looking at me, and as I'm singing this, and he's just shaking his head. I was like, hey, I may not be able to sing like the praise team, but I can make a joyful noise. So, hey, I'm going to make some noise tonight. Let's worship.
Jesus. that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for the answers that I need. But then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere.
We have a great high priest. The chief apostle of our faith, who has passed through the heavens. He has passed through every situation, every circumstance. He has passed through every authority, every dominion, and obliterated them. He has passed through and entered into the true tabernacle, not made with the hands of men, but made by God. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now he lives forever to make intercession on your behalf. He lives forever to be your advocate. He lives forever to be your propitiation, to be your sacrifice. He shed his blood once for all time. All time means past, present, future. He brought his own blood into the true tabernacle. And he lives forever as your elder brother, as your high priest on your behalf. He is your high priest. He does make intercession on your behalf. He does stand on your behalf in every situation, in every circumstance, physically, financially, maritally, family, mentally, socially, purpose. He lives forever to be your advocate, to be your lawyer, to intercede for you. When you come up short, he doesn't. When you find yourself lacking, he's not. When there's a gap, he fills it. And of this high priest, we are told to consider him. Consider him the apostle, the high priest of our faith, Yeshua. Consider him. Look at him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, always remember to consider him. Legal matter, consider him. Physical matter, consider him. Mental matter, consider him. No matter what the situation, no matter the circumstance, look at him. Fix your eyes on the author and the completer, the finisher of our faith. He started it, and he keeps it in play. Fix your eyes on him. Whenever you're going through something, never forget to consider him. When your eyes are fixed on him, your eyes are fixed on life, on abundance, on provision, on health, on love, on joy, on peace. When your eyes are fixed on him, your eyes are fixed on victory, because he's won the victory. He has secured the victory on your behalf. Your apostle, your high priest, your elder brother, consider him. Fix your eyes on him.
Lift our eyes to see our Father and all that He has done, all that He has prepared, all that He is in the process of doing in the earth by His word, what He has already spoken. We rejoice and we allow His word to be our standard. We allow His word to be what gives us life, what sustains us and holds our lives together. Great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord. And because You are great and because You are our God, our lives are great in the earth. We live great in the earth. Because of Your great provision, Father, we celebrate You, Father. Hallelujah. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Something else?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been in the presence of God this night. When you're in the presence of God, one of the greatest things that you can do is shut your head down and just receive. When you're praising and worshiping God, one of the greatest things that you can do is shut your head down and just receive, just rest. God has a way of working when you're not working. He has a way of working when you're resting, when you're just receiving. Whether you're at church or whether you're at home, learn to enjoy the presence of God and rest in His presence, knowing that the work is finished and you have an opportunity to just open up and receive. Allow the presence of God to work in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, and bring about the change, bring about the adjustment that is needed. You've been in the house of the Lord tonight. You've been in the presence of God tonight. You've been under the grace of God tonight. It doesn't stop when you leave here, for it's on the inside of you. He is at work in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. So as you get in the car, as you go home, as you go throughout your week, His presence is on the inside of you. And at any point in time, you can stop, listen, praise, hear, and enjoy what He's doing in your life. Amen? Amen. There's an opportunity tonight to be a blessing. For the word that went forth, there are offering buckets up here. If you would like to plant seed into Brother Ken and the ministers, there's an opportunity to do that tonight. And the buckets are up here. Our pastor is the healed of the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He is healthy and whole. Thank he is full Father. Of life and strength and ability. Every organ, every cell, every tissue functions and operates the way Hallelujah. It's intended to function Hallelujah. And operate. He is the head and not the tail. He is above and not beneath. He is the healed of the Lord. He is healthy and whole. He runs and he's not weary. He walks and he does not faint. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within him and quickens his body. He lives, he walks, he operates in the life of God in every arena, in every situation, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Father, we agree together with you that he is the healed of the Lord, and life, and that life more abundantly is made manifest in him. We celebrate the victory, Lord. Victory, victory, victory. And we say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. You are awesome and you are wonderful for the work that you are doing in his life. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I believe we are done. You're free to go. If you have an offering, the buckets are up here. You're blessed. Go with God.
My mind, he saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
One more time, sing.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. My mind, he saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name. Each day he's just the same. Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord.